I want to read from Mark chapter 1. We will start at verse 1, but I just want to emphasize two verses, but let us read a few verses. Mark chapter 1, verse 1. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Well, we can see it reminds us of Genesis 1, eh? In the beginning, God created. So in the beginning. So here's a new beginning where Christ, Jesus, is coming. New beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, I'll send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. And John wore clothing made of camel hair with a leather belt around his waist. And he ate locust and wild honey. And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And the voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him into the desert, and he was in the desert 40 days, being tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. And after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." And this is the two verses that I just want to try to unpack for you. Is after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." In the biography of Robert and Mary Moffat, it's written that they worked for 10 years in Bechuanaland. That's now Northern Cape. They've worked there without any converts, without anyone turning to Christ. 10 years. The directors at home, they start to question the wisdom of this whole mission where they were busy with. And they start to talk about changing their plans. Then a friend from England asked for Mrs. Moffat, "What gift should we send out to you?" And this brave woman, she wrote back, "Send us communion service. It will sure be needed." And the biography continues to say that the breath of the Lord moved among them. And in time there were six that turned to Christ. And those communion service arrived one day before the first Lord's Supper. It arrived there at Kuruman. I thought of it that the same message that they've preached there years ago is this message: repent and believe the good news. And this is the message that is preached here by our Lord Jesus. And it's the message that we must continue to preach. Repent and believe the good news. And this is vital for Mark. Mark is now continuing, and he is always coming back to this and explaining what it means to repent and to believe. Therefore, my theme today is the vital message of Jesus. The vital message of Jesus. In verse 14, it is saying that Jesus' ministry started after John was put into prison. Now, he's not describing for us the whole process. He does not describe to us why John was put in prison. It's only in chapter 6, verse 14, that Mark is starting to explain why that all happened. He's not giving us the background. And the reason why he's not giving us the background here is because John is no longer in focus. John was just the forerunner. And there's no time now to spend to explain why John was now put into prison. No, there is now a new focus, the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus and his message, that's now the new focus. And he would have taken up time to explain that, and that would have kept the focus on John. But Mark wants to put our emphasis now, our focus on the Lord Jesus. And therefore, he's not explaining it to us. He wants to say the forerunner's role has been fulfilled. Now it's the one, it's now the Lord Jesus. You know, it's something we must take note of. We must not stay too long in the foreground. We must always be busy showing them as to Christ. And we must, as John is saying, become less, that Christ can become more. Is that our ministries? Is that what we are trying to do, to bind them to Jesus and to actually be out of focus so that Jesus can be in focus? Because that must be our purpose. That's what Mark is doing here. And he wants us to put the fresh focus on the Lord Jesus. The word that he's using there, John was put into prison, is the word that he is actually saying he was handed over. It's the past passive of paradidomi. He was handed over. And as you know, that was a foreshadowing of what happened to Jesus. Jesus was also handed over. So in what is happening to John, there's already something putting our attention on what will happen to Jesus. Because as we know, Mark is actually in a hurry to get to the cross. He's writing, he's many times using the word immediately, because he wants to get to the cross. And here, he's now using that word to say that will also actually happen with our Lord Jesus. He will also be handed over. He is saying, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news. Now, there's suddenly a change of scenery. Up to this stage, it was John baptizing there at the southern part of the Jordan River, there in the wilderness. He was baptizing. The people from Jerusalem and from the area were coming out to John. He was preaching repentance. Now, things changed. It is now Jesus going to the people. It's not him preaching somewhere and wait for everyone to come to him. No, he is going in that area. And we know on a few occasions Jesus tried to get alone and the people just follow. So he went to the people. That's our duty as well, to went to the people. Now, Galilee was the territory of Herod Antipas. And therefore, it's not that Jesus tried to escape some ruler here. No, it's just where he starts his ministry in Galilee. And only later we learn that it was this same Herod Antipas that put John in prison and killed him. And in chapter 8, verse 15, we also see that he was no friend of Jesus as well. But it was Jesus' way of starting his ministry in Galilee. We see something here of a continuation of John. John is called a messenger, bringing the message, a preacher. And Jesus is also a preacher, preaching. But there's a difference. It's not the same. John preached about someone that will come. But Jesus preached the message, but he is the message as well. He is the one that they must turn to. He is the one that they must believe. If we look in the Old Testament to the where this image of the messenger is coming from, we see that in Isaiah it is used for the forerunner and it's used for the Messiah himself, the Spirit anointed Messiah himself as well. So Jesus is not just preaching, but he is also the message. The first thing that we can then conclude now is to say that Jesus was a preacher. He was preaching the message. So, Jesus viewed men as responsible, intelligent people. He is seeing them as people that can hear a message and that they can take this message and work with it through the grace of the Spirit's work. He's not working with them with warnings. Other places he warned them about hell, but he is not warning them about hell. He's just bringing the good news. He's not working with them on superstition. He's also not working with them by joining them in their sin to say, listen, I'm just like you and I join your sin. No. He's preaching to them to say, you can understand, and by God's grace, your heart can change, and you can make a decision for Christ. We see also that Jesus has confidence in this message. He's preaching it not to cover some weakness. He's preaching it not with hesitation. He's preaching it because he knows this message is the truth, and this message will be accepted. We must never lose it to preach this message with confidence. Repent and believe. Because it's the message of Christ. It's not a weak message. We see that Jesus had the assurance that this message will be accepted. It was not a fruitful initiative. It was a divine commission. And he preached this message. And he knew it should not and could not be frustrated. Because this is the truth. This is life. His words should not pass away. All should be fulfilled. As Christ's gospel is still to be spread in the same manner, in the same spirit, that we must preach it, believing that it will be accepted for those that Christ called by his grace. We see that Jesus is not just a preacher, but this preacher is announcing. He made an announcement. He is saying, the time has come, he said. The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. He made an announcement. The appointed time has arrived. The time that God, in his wisdom, before the creation of the world has decided, that time has come. And that's what Jesus is preaching here. The time has come. The fullness of time. This is the fullness. It's the fulfillment of the prophecy. Prophecies. It's the prophetic hope that's fulfilled. The hope through the whole of the Old Testament that was promised. In Genesis 3:15 already, it said, he will come and he will destroy. He will crush the head of the serpent. The time has arrived. It's again a perfect that is used here. A perfect, it has been fulfilled. It's not something still coming. The time has come. The time is here. It's there. It has arrived. It's not just the time that has elapsed. It's not just time that went past. It's the time that God decided that it's the time for him to come. The time has come. Do we really preach that message in that way? The time has come. He's here. Things has changed. Things is not the same anymore. Christ has come. It made a difference. Yes, he will come again. But he has come. The work that he has come to do to crush the head of the serpent is there. He is saying, the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is near. Now, God's kingdom was there from eternity, and it's still there. It will be till eternity. But we know how Satan rebelled, and how he took man with him to rebel against God. And God is saying, now the kingdom is near. Now, this is actually also a perfect. So it's not to say it's near in the sense that it will still happen. He said it has come. The kingdom has come. The rule is going to be restored. Although God ruled from eternity and he still rules, but it's going to be restored because man's heart will be changed and the devil will be crushed. Because the time has come and the kingdom is near. Those two are going together. The time has come and the kingdom is near. Both of them, it happened. Both of them is perfect. It's things that happened and we are living with the results of that still today. So the conclusion is that John was the one that preached that it is near, but Jesus is saying it's here. The kingdom has come. Has God's kingdom really come for us in our lives? Has he come? Is he a reality? Well, we're just thinking, somewhere when we are dead, the reality will be. Is he a reality now? Yes, the kingdom, it's an abstract noun. It's there from eternity. And it happened, and it will finally be declared when Christ come again. Yes, but it's there. The third thing that we see that Jesus is saying here, he's not just announcing something, but he's making a summons. He's making an appeal. He's saying, repent and believe the good news. Any good preacher must bring the good news. He must offer counsel, but he must also make an appeal to those that he is preaching to. He first of all, he's saying, repent. Now, repentance, we all know that. It's a change of heart, a change of thought, a change of purpose, a change of that will give us entrance into the kingdom of God. Now we know that the divine side of this is regeneration. We know that God is working through his Spirit, and he is saying that no one can enter into the kingdom of God except if man be born again. But from man's side is the repentance that Jesus is preaching here. He's saying, repent, turn from your sin. There must come a change in your life. Now, this change is there for blatant sinners. Blatant sinners must turn. Now, I hope not one of you is in that category, blatant sinners, too, that you just foolhardily continue in your sin. Perhaps just when you enter Mukanyo, you dress in the right way and you walk in the right way. But actually you live in sin. Then the message is coming. You must repent. You must repent. If it's your pornography, you must repent. If it's your anger, you must repent. If you are stealing time or something, perhaps in your house you've got things that's not yours, you must repent. Perhaps you're lazy. You're not putting effort in your work. You're happy with 50%. 51 is too much. Then you say, no, I've studied too much. Perhaps you're lazy. You must repent. So he's calling sinners to repentance. But it can also be that we just have the form of godliness. It can be the house on the sand and the house on the rock, it looks exactly the same. It was only when the test came that you could see the one on the rock and the one on the sand. Further, it was the same house. Can it be that there's houses on sand? Now, Jesus is saying, it's those that know but don't do. And that's what the Bible is saying. We that know more, we will get double punishment at the end. Because we know more. Are we doing what we know? Even if you're like that, then it means you must repent. Jesus is calling you to repent. But it can also be that you're a backslider. That you've lost your first love. It can be that you've ceased to do the things that you've done when you came to Christ. When you were fresh in Christ, that zeal to share the gospel with others. Perhaps you've lost that. And Jesus is saying, repent. Turn from it. Turn from that coldness in your heart. Come back to me. So, Christianity make no compromise with sin. The Lord Jesus make no compromise with sin. There's no flattery for sinners. His message is clear. Repent. Turn from that sin, whatever it is. And the Spirit will show you. If you pray now and say, Lord, what's in my life? The Spirit will show you what is in your life that you can repent of, to turn from it. So Jesus' first message, and I think many times he preached it, but it was ringing over all the people and the towns and the cities, repent, repent. The second thing he's calling and saying, he say, believe the gospel, believe the good news, believe me, I'm the good news, believe me, what I'm coming to tell you, that's the truth. On the mountain of transfiguration, that's what God is saying. He is saying, this is my son. Listen to him. That's what Jesus is saying. Believe the good news. Believe the gospel. Now, we know that to believe is to accept, to take what God is giving to us by his grace. It's to receive what God is giving. It's the path to receive life. To believe. To accept what Christ has done for us. Now, this belief is more than an intellectual sense. It's more than to say, yes, I know it. Because I presume all of you can say, I know it. But this is more than just knowing it. It means to put a response It means it put to a commitment. It means an acceptance. It means to trust Him with everything. To bank on Him. If you are sleepy, pray. Say, Lord, help me not to sleep. It is the same message that came through the prophets in the Old Testament, where the prophets call Israel, they say, turn, 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 turn to me. Be obedient to the faithful Yahweh. Be faithful to Him. The radical new direction in your life. Is that true of you? If your life changed, when you accept Christ, when Christ came into your life, did your life change? If your life has not changed, then you must ask yourself whether anything happened. I mean, even a good sinner, if there's something like that. Even a good sinner, when coming to Christ, his life will be totally different. And the bad sinner also. Is your life different? And perhaps it happened long ago. Is it still like that today? The radical new direction. To summarize, the time is fulfilled. Jesus is saying, is preaching, repent. Repent and believe the gospel. Turn to me. Take it. Make it your own. Let it be your own. You know, without faith, repentance becomes despair. If you just, by your own strength, try to turn from sin, you'll despair. But in the same way, without repentance, faith is presumptions. So just to say I believe, but I don't turn, I don't repent, that's not what Jesus is saying here. So it's both. I must hold on to both. Without repentance and faith, I cannot fulfill what Jesus is asking of us here. The gospel is for sinners. It is those who are in sin that needs the gospel. And that, therefore, I know it's for each one of us. We need the gospel. We need it in our hearts. We need to understand it. That's why Jesus came. That's why he came. He came to us. Jesus gave himself to you. Unto you he gave the word of salvation. This message is still preached, the one that Jesus started his ministry with. It's still preached. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved. This is the gospel of God. And this is what we can trust. This is what we can hold on to. For those who do not believe, who do not repent, this good news becomes bad news. Then it's bad news. Because then the opposite will happen. But we have every reason, every motive to believe that Christ may be glorified. And the angels in heaven will rejoice. One day, a man, his name was Jack, turned to the Lord. And his friend came to him and he said, yeah, well, oh Jack, I hear you have given up all your pleasures. And then Jack said, no. It's the other way around. He said, I've just found all my pleasures and I've given only up all my folly. Are you still in the pleasures of the world and think that's pleasures? Was there repentance and faith Believe in the Lord Jesus, that you can have the real pleasures and turn from all the folly. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for your word, and your word is still the same today. That you are saying the time is fulfilled, the kingdom has come. Repent and believe. And Lord, you know each one of us, and you know in what stage we are, whether we are still reckless in sin, whether we are just pretending, whether we have just left our first love. Please, Lord, work through your Spirit in such a way that whatever you point to us, that we will repent and believe the victory in you. That we will put behind us all the follies of this world, that we can have all the pleasures in you. Lord, work above what we can think or pray. In your name we ask it. Amen.